Listener discretion is advised.
Go.
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Drew, I paged you today.
Oh, I didn't get it.
You didn't get it.
No. Using the new number?
Your pager only works when it's in the studio and off the vibrate mode.
Let me write the number down. Make sure you got the right number.
Cell phone.
Cell phone?
I was on my cell phone.
The pager's on your cell phone? Maybe you're calling.
No, I paged you, and I left you my cell phone.
Okay.
You understand it?
I'm making sure this is the number you called, though.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I see. Yeah, it is on my cell phone, and I don't know. Maybe I got the wrong thing. Yeah. But it was a pager. Well, anyway. I want to talk to you about your treehouse.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Paulina, thank you for bringing that up. Paulina brought that up 600 times today.
I'm starting to think about that.
God,
you got to make some kind of drawing of that or something.
All right.
You got to figure out what tree you want it on
and how
you want to do it.
Got that.
All right. Okay. So I'm going to build the... Well, I'm not going to do that much of it, but I'm going to orchestrate the building of Drew's treehouse. Number two, Drew, I opened my mail today.
Uh-huh.
I oftentimes don't open it for a week or so because... to me, no news is good news.
Yes, no news is no news.
Here's the reality with mail. There's about 25 things in there that you could not want to see, and then there's two or three things that you might want to see. You do the math.
Yeah.
How often do you get money in the mail as opposed to how many times do people want money from you in the mail? You know that ratio?
It's not a good one.
That's the ratio I open my mail.
Okay.
All right. So I opened it, and I found something I have seen before, which is your Social Security statement. This is, I don't know, the font looks a little weird, looks a little cheesy, but apparently this is Social Security and how much I've paid in and what I've made over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Always fascinating to see. Now, Drew.
Oh, wow.
I was going to read this over the air just because it's really fascinating. But, I thought, Drew, you should read it over the air.
Yes. Yeah.
So you just read the year, and you read the column to the far right, mm-hmm. which will tell you what I made for the year.
Okay. 1980, your tax Social Security earnings, $232.
Yeah, that's the year. Now, again, the number on the right is what you made that year, $232 in 1980.
1984, there's a huge jump up.
Well, you miss 83.
Oh, 83. 2000.
Wait, start jumping, 80.
You want to go every single year?
Every column.
All right.
1980. Go ahead.
All right. Tax Medicare earnings, $746.
Yes.
1981. 1982, $1,093.
All right.
For the year.
Moving up.
1983, doubles up to $2,289.
I save the commentary, Drew. Just read the numbers.
1984. $9,367.
All right. Now, that's when I'm getting into construction now. Having a good year now, $9,000. Out on my own in 84.
That's nice.
Yeah.
1985, zero.
Yeah, probably that's a tough year, 85 was. I probably did a little work under the table, such as like if I'd built that tree house for you and charged you.
Yeah, yeah.
You would have flowed me a couple $100.
Right. And Medicare
Sam wouldn't have known about it.
Yeah, it's none the worse for not having found out.
Right. All right, 86.
But 86, suddenly there's a change reflected. $17,672.
All right, that's 86, yeah.
87, $2,553.
Well, probably took a little. It's a bad year.
88, zero.
Zero. Now, in 1988, you understand I'm not in the 11th grade in 1988. I'm, 1988, I'm 26 years old.
Good times.
Yeah.
Well, good thing when you're 27 in 1989, $22,543.
That
just at the poverty level.
Yeah, that's when I was coming back. That's when I was doing earthquake rehab work, and we got a city contract.
And you got your truck with the no handles and...
No. Okay. I got that in like 84, 85.
Okay. 1990, $6,312.
Wait, did you skip a year? What happened in 89?
2022,000.
Oh, really? Yeah, big.
90, $6,312.
6,000.
Okay.
Okay.
1991, zero.
Zero again.
What happened? You sick that year?
I think I got cocky because I made 22 grand that one year. And I got, you know, I got cocky. I got a little ahead of myself. Maybe I didn't want to go to work. Now, you know what I did in, like, 89? I probably, like, or 90, I probably built my grandmother's kitchen or something. Took a year, you know. Now, mind you, those zeros, I did make something, but I guarantee it was about 10 grand for the year.
Since you review this chart carefully using your own records to make sure our information is correct and that we've recorded each year you worked.
Yeah. What records would I have that indicate zero?
Now 92 and 93 are each $3,500.
Yeah, yeah.
You make coming back.
And yeah. Now I'm into the 90s, and I'm still at $3,000, by the way. I'm getting near 30 years old, you understand, everybody. And I'm having 30. Now, this is not how much they took out. This is the year.
Yeah.
$3,500 for 1993.
How much were you paid cash, seriously?
Not an exquisite amount. I mean, you know. If that says, you know, maybe it's another $6,000-$7,000 or something that I didn't report.
So maybe $9,000 you're at in reality.
It's possible. Possible.
94, you're up to $6,442.
All righty.
95, $36,000.
Yes.
Breaking out.
Yes.
What happened? 95.
Must have started getting into radio or something.
96.
Yeah.
$316,424.
That's right.
$316,424.
That's right. That's what you call a comeback, kids.
And then it, you keep don't, it going. The rest of it's painful.
No, go ahead.
No, it's sick.
Go.
You're going to piss a lot of people off.
I don't care.
All right. 97, $354,661.
Mm-hmm.
1998, $543,453.
Yes. We're listening.
1999, $1,237,903. That is crazy.
Right. Yeah.
2000, $1,013,726.
Yeah, I dropped a little. And 2001's not in there, right?
Is that going to be a bigger number?
I think a little bit.
Oh, my God.
Well, look, I've been saving up all these years, right?
That's true. You got to make it up to do.
Yeah. Well, listen, I know I thought about, well, I don't know. You went through yapping about what you make on the air, but I don't care.
I know.
I mean, what is that weird? There's that weird celebrity thing. I would assume that people would think I might make more.
Mm-hmm.
You think? I mean, look, when they find out that, you know, Rick Dees makes $3 or $4 million a year, and I know a lot of you people don't know that name, and that's my point, then, you know. I should get something too, right? All right.
Well, look, it's good to know with all that money down, your payments at age 62 will be about $1,200 a month.
Yeah, that's right. Same as a school teacher,
so
right?
If you continue working at your current rate,
right?
By age 70, the payments could be $2,300 a month.
That's going to be great. $2,300 is really going to go a long ways in 2035.
Oh, my God.
Amber?
Yes?
You're 21?
Yes.
Drew, how dismal is that earnings history? I mean, really, do you know an adult that has a worse earnings history from 1980 to 1995?
Not who isn't living at the Union Station.
Then I mean, what was the average, $4,000?
Yeah. How did you live?
I told you. Wasn't easy.
Wow.
Thank you. And that's, you know, when I tell you about not having car insurance or medical or dental, I mean, now it's easy to believe,
how
right?
How about food and rent?
You know. Turned a few tricks.
Okay.
Amber?
Is that cash?
You're 21. What's up?
Well, first of all, you know how girls call in and they say that their vagina smells. There's
right.
an easy way to take care of that.
All right.
Get a bar of Dove soap and wash yourself. Guys wash themselves, so why shouldn't girls have to also?
Yeah, that will not help with the bacterial infections that cause the smelling. Though. Those usually
yeah.
like trichomonas or vaginitis.
So that's an easy way to tell you got something wrong with you.
Well, doesn't bar soap irritate that area?
No, you take a bar of Dove soap, white Dove soap, and it works just fine.
Yeah, Dove is pretty mild.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, what else going on?
Why don't you whittle yourself a dildo out of that Dove soap?
Mm.
Yeah.
I prefer a vibrator.
That would be irritating.
Yeah, but a vibrator's not going to clean you out.
Yeah, Dove will do it just fine.
All right.
She's not, as usual, she's not following.
She's not tracking.
Yeah. Go right. ahead, Amber.
Well, that's why I get the big bucks. Go ahead, Amber.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you high right now?
You sound loaded, yeah.
I do. I'm not high at all. No. Uh-uh.
Really? No?
Uh-uh. I got high earlier last month, but it's not the thing I do on a daily basis.
Oh, okay.
But sex, I do it all the time, but yet I have no interest in it. And I can't figure out why.
With the same person?
No, with many different people. And that's another thing. It's very, very, very difficult for me to say no.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I try, I make an effort, but it never seems to work out the way I want it to.
Well, that's great victim behavior. That's how victims
behave. I know, and I just can't seem to, you know, stop it from going on, and I can't figure out what's happening with myself.
You can't figure out where you've been victimized in the past?
Yeah, well, okay, let me give you a brief overview of my life.
Oh, no. Brief is the operant word here.
When I was 7, my mother died.
Yeah.
My father's an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
When my mother died, my sister moved into the house to help take care of me. She was a very controlling, very, very intrusive person.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have an eating disorder?
No eating disorder.
All right.
I got into a bad car accident when I was 15, which made me go blind.
Wow.
Completely blind?
Yeah, completely blind.
Oh, please state that at the beginning of the call, callers. I will tend to be much nicer when I find that out. I'm sorry, sweetness.
Oh, it's all right. It doesn't bother me.
It doesn't?
No, I've gotten used. I've accepted it.
Yeah, but he means the fact that he's been abusing you. She's
no.
a victim. You got to understand that. That's
no.
what she expects from
oh,
you.
Oh, all right. All right. Completely blind in a car accident.
Yeah.
Man, it's like out of a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And isn't that the kind of thing, Drew, that could be corrected? I mean...
Was it a brain injury?
Yes. Well, my optic nerve was injured.
That's it. Pow.
That's it?
Yep.
But with today's technology?
Neuronal material cannot be regenerated, period.
Now, you say that now.
Right now. That's the fact now.
All right. All right, listen, Amber.
Yeah?
How about a little therapy?
Yeah, well, the only reason I'm not in therapy right now is simply because the household I'm living in right now, my roommate doesn't want me living here until I'm looking for a new place.
Right.
And it just doesn't make any sense either. Because me and my roommate, we act like we're best friends. We talk all the time. But yet she still doesn't want me to live. She's got issues of her own.
Well, once again, Amber, the tracking mechanisms aren't operating here. How does her looking for a new roommate figure into her not having therapy? She didn't mention price, didn't mention money.
I don't know, but I'm guessing that has something to do with it. Oh, listen, I don't know. Drew, you want to read my Social Security returns and make Amber feel better?
Amber, in 1985, Adam earned zero. 88 and 91, zero.
There you go. You feel better?
And he went to a therapist those years, I bet.
Could have.
I bet you did.
Yeah, I'd have to check the data on there. Could have went to a therapist and, actually, this would be a very good...
There's a point to be made here.
Yes, I went to a therapist and, I did go to therapist some of those 0 years.
And certainly the years when you're making $3,000 and $6,000.
Some of those years, too.
Now, admittedly, your dad paid half, right?
My dad paid for half.
Yeah. But so our callers could at least go at half the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a great case in point for what motivation, and look what's happened to your life because of it. This graph, these numbers I just read, prove the point, do they not?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
It's a triumph for me and me alone. Kaylee?
Yes?
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I was listening to your conversation earlier about the girl who called in about the anal sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, like, because you said something like she shouldn't be with him because he doesn't respect her.
Yeah, this is probably from last week. I'm guessing
okay,
we're hearing a replay.
Yeah,
so
go ahead.
Sounds vaguely familiar, though.
All right. So, but the thing is, it's like I've been with my boyfriend for 6 years. And
I remember this girl. She was in pain, exquisite pain, and it was miserable, and yet he kept forcing it on her. That's not an okay thing.
Yeah, okay. I understand that. And I guess that's the thing from the conversation. I did not get that, she seemed to be willing with it. And
she was willing, and our point was, it doesn't work. It's horribly painful. Don't do it.
Yeah,
if you enjoyed it, we wouldn't even be talking about it.
I think Kaylee may be agreeing with you.
No, Kaylee's saying, well, if she enjoyed it, why'd you tell her not to do it?
I don't know. Is that what you're saying, Kaylee?
No, I'm just saying because with my experience, because it kind of got my attention, you know, because with my experience, my boyfriend wanted to have anal sex with me, you know, and I was like, whatever, you know, I'm not really interested in that. But, like, he kept on at it, and so we did it. And it wasn't a big deal, you know, nothing, like, bad happened or anything like that. But, you know, it happened once and whatever. And, you know, it was because of his persistence.
All right.
That was not her point.
What is her point? Is she making a point? She got nailed in the ass once. I understand. I made $0 in 1985, everybody. Zero. What is her point?
This is our usual stuff where people hear something that relates to them and then makes our calls about them.
Quiet down. I'm the angry one here. Kaylee, what is your point? You got it in the ass once. So what?
All right. So, but with my boyfriend's persistence, does that have a respect thing to it? You know, does he respect me?
No, probably not as much as he could if he'd just not, you know, sort of listen to you the first time.
And this is a completely different situation than you saying this is causing exquisite pain. I do not want to do this ever again. And he persists.
Yeah,
anyway.
But again, I don't know what she, I don't know that she's making a point about what you said, Drew. She's more making a point about wanting to know if her boyfriend has respect for her.
You're right.
And if somebody bothers you to do something over and over and over again that you really don't want to do, and it's not going to the dentist or getting therapy or getting off the booze, if it's something that they want you to do that may not be good for you, but they keep bothering you about it, the argument could be made that they don't have the utmost respect for you.
Or don't have, aren't able to put you, to empathize with you, put your interests ahead of their crazy needs.
That's right. They want to put their ass ahead of their crazy penis.
No. Yes, your ass.
Your ass.
Right.
Thank you. Jimmy?
Yeah.
You're 23.
Right.
What's up?
Well, over the past probably 2 years, my penis has seemed to have shrank around 2 inches.
Uh-huh.
Why is that already comical?
I don't know.
Just the way he says it.
Keep going.
And the main thing is that just something that happened sometime? Is there anything that could have caused this?
When it's erect, you've measured it, and you've documented a 2-inch drop-off.
Yes.
Are you otherwise functioning normally?
Yes.
Do you have any medical problems?
No.
Anything else change in your body or your system or your functioning? Anything?
No. I used to work out and lift weights.
But you weren't. But
other than that,
but you weren't taking steroids or over the counter.
Wasn't taking steroids.
Nothing like that. No over the counter stuff.
Oh, well, wait a minute. How long was your penis when you measured it 2 years ago erect?
It would generally, you know, they kind of fluctuate anyway, but generally...
No, not really. Not really.
Seven and a half.
All right. Now
listen, if you have a full erection, there's not going to be a whole lot of fluctuation in penis measurement.
I have heard enough of these calls to begin believing that there might be something to do with circulating levels of testosterone, and there might be some minor difference.
Seven and a half, and now you're down to what?
Generally between five and a half.
Five and a half.
And yet you're having sex as way you always used to.
Yes.
Your weight hasn't changed.
No, it's changed a couple of times since then.
Well, in what way?
Up and down both. I did weigh about 280. And I went down to probably in the 250 range. Now I'm back up to probably about 290.
And when you were down, was that when the penis was longer?
No. It didn't seem to affect anything that way.
Wow. How tall are you?
Right about 6 foot.
You got some beef around the penis.
I got some beef on me.
Yeah, maybe the penis is getting lost in the beef stew there.
Sure.
Thighs,
plus,
gut, you know,
plus
areas around it growing.
As you get older, that adipose, the fat tissue, creates a lot of estrogen, and your testosterone falls as you age anyway.
Is that why, like, fat, hairless guys needed something else to think about? But, you know, when you see that fat guy at the gym, and he always has a really small dork, do you know what I'm talking about?
Sure, that doesn't look that way. Or
well, no. I mean, you're going to have to close your eyes and picture some penis for a second here.
No.
Now picture this.
Okay.
You've seen this dude at the gym, the very slender waist guy with the rock abs, you know, and very very toned guy. And that guy seems to usually have a little more penis coming out of him. Now picture this sort of zoftic guy.
Turtle.
Yeah. I mean, picture your sort of Truman Capote type of guy. Not so much the guys that are just plain old fat, but there's sort of feminine fat on guys.
I understand. That's the estrogen production. That's always the turtle head pulled back
right,
into the shirt.
Right. They have the weight that they carry is not in their thighs and their back and, or even in their gut, but it's below their gut. It's like if they're wearing a belt, the bulge would come on the bottom side of the belt. So it's not only do you basically look like a fat chick in the locker room, but your penis is now gone. That's nice. And you know what always, you know what's always the finishing touch on that horrible look?
What's that?
Just the little red pubes. You know, just a sprinkling of red pubes. I don't know what it is. Those guys are never dark-haired guys. You don't have the Guido types. You don't have the black guys.
Mm.
You don't have the Mediterranean types.
I suppose
just a little bit of red. Yeah, but what really finishes off the look is the white,
super white,
hairless body with just the rusty pube look. Huh?
Good time.
That's a good look. All right, we're going to take a little break. Zero money in 1985, according to
I'm impressed with that the graph. As you've always said, just look at the graph.
Look at the graph, everybody. All right, we'll take a little break. We'll be right back. All right. DJ Quills is going to be in here tomorrow night.
Have we had him in here before?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
We had him in here when he did Road Trip.
Right.
And now he's starring in his new movie, The New Guy. So we will see about what he's up to. He was a nice guy, as I recall. Tomorrow night. All right, ready to keep going here, Drew?
Let's go.
Let's talk to Alex. Alex?
Yeah.
You're 13. What's up?
Well, I cut myself with a rusty knife because I was pretty depressed.
Mm-hmm.
I really screwed up my arm. It's all discolored. Looks like it's going to fall off.
Yeah, you got that blood poisoning thing?
I don't know.
Drew, what is that where your blood, you can see those streaks of like blue in your arm and
stuff?
Well,
that's how it's red, and that is
red?
An infection ascending up your lymphatics.
What do they call that? Is there like a lay term for that?
People will call it blood poisoning. It's called lymphangitis in real life.
All righty. Alex?
Yeah.
So what's your question for us?
Well, I don't know what am I supposed to do because it's like, we're like 20 miles out of town. It's like, what, 11:24 here? So, I don't know if it's going to be all right by morning or what can I do? Am I going to be, like, can I go to the hospital?
Yes, you can go to the hospital.
Well, obviously.
That sounds like what you ought to do.
Well, what's the dangers, Drew?
Well, that this infection can really get rip-roaring. You heard it. Remember all the stuff about the flesh-eating bacteria and all that stuff in the press for a while there?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you can get. And if that really gets going, sometimes there's no turning back from that. It's fatal.
Okay.
So it's something to get treated early, and it's an infection in the skin and soft tissue, and sometimes it's what's called the fascia. And when it gets into the fascia, it just rips through the whole limb and gets into the rest of your body.
What are you going to tell your folks?
I don't know. They're pissed off enough. They're always pissed off. So.
Well, do they know you're cutting on yourself and you're depressed?
No.
Well, what about that part of your life outside your arm?
I don't really care. They're assholes.
All right. Well, maybe when you go to the hospital, you can mention this part, too, and maybe get some assistance with dealing with all that.
Okay.
Yeah, listen, Alex, life's going to be long and crappy.
Yeah.
You may make $0 in 1985 like I did. I mean, you're going to need to get a little therapy or talk to somebody or get into sports or get into school or do something besides cut on yourself with a rusty knife.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
All right. Listen, don't sit around and smoke weed and hate your parents. Just get some friends. I mean, your parents are losers, right?
Right.
Right. So my parents were losers. I just got out of the house. I hung out at my friends' houses. You have any friends?
Yeah, a few. But they're in the hospital for alcohol poisoning.
They're in the hospital for alcohol poisoning?
Yeah.
Oh, good times.
Good times. But maybe you ought to get some other friends that are not so into using drugs.
Maybe the ones
not,
that don't actually poison themselves.
Yeah, the tough thing about humans is that when somebody feels like crap, they have to go hang out with people who feel like crap. So they all feel like crap.
Yeah, I don't know.
Thing.
I didn't. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe I did do a little of that. But
well, you hung out at least with a bunch of aggressive guys that felt like crap and acted out all their BS. So you forgot about how you're feeling.
Yeah, okay. I'll buy that.
But I'll tell you, look at these numbers. I can tell how you're feeling. I see you've added up here your entire earnings up to 1994, grand total of $76,500.
Yeah, that was approximation, but it's within $500 either way.
Well, that's good. 15 years of work. And
Well, it doesn't sound like much, but it's almost $5,000 a, you know, $5,000 and change a year.
Think how many carpets that must have been.
How many carpets I had to clean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Brett?
Yeah?
Yeah, you're 15. Let me tell you something. You know, there's a lot of guys, they talk a good story, but my numbers, they back me
it's
up.
It's like living color.
They blow me out.
Yeah. You got to take this into your therapist and just go, hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
What can happen here? You feel good about it.
Brett?
Yeah?
You're 15. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. I just wanted to say I've learned a lot from you guys, but there's probably something you said over again, and I just don't want to accept it, but my parents, I think, are about to divorce.
All right. And what did you hear?
I don't know what to do.
What did you hear that you don't want to accept from us?
That, like, maybe there's nothing I can do about it.
Well, what we've said is that it's not your fault and that your parents are separate people who have their own issues between themselves.
Oh, well, this part is part of my fault.
How's that?
Because my dad thinks it's my mom and my fault because he's more of a take-control guy, wants to have power over everyone. So if he doesn't have power over the family, because he owns his own company and he's the boss of everyone, so he's used to that on a daily life, so I understand that. But if he can't, like, know everything that's going on and control it, then he feels that he has a loss of power.
Well, why is that your fault?
Yeah, that's his. It's his problems. It's his personality problems. And if his personality problems are more important, are so intense, and his unwillingness to deal with them are so entrenched that he's willing to sacrifice his family for it, then that's his problem.
Yeah,
that's not your fault.
Why do you want this guy around the house anyway?
Well, first of all, he's my dad.
Hold on a second. Let me write this down. He's your dad. I hate those answers.
I know. But you know what he means.
I know. But
I don't mean to be a smartass.
All right. Yeah, all right. Now, yeah, but I understand. No one wants their parents to get divorced. But on the other hand, so many people's parents get divorced.
Well, I know, but, like, this is, like, seems of, like, a wimp reason out of it. Just because they have problems together doesn't mean they should just give up. I mean, it's not like my dad's a drunk. Nobody does any drugs or anything.
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
Oh, yeah.
What do you got?
I got a brother that was a pot addict, and he's out of the country now. He used to beat on me.
All right. Well, look. Here's the deal, Brett.
Yeah.
You cannot be responsible for your parents' divorce.
Period.
Period. So, you're 15. You're theoretically in high school. Your parents may get divorced. They may not get divorced. You can't spend energy trying to fix their relationship.
However, this is a family system that sounds like it really needs some work. And maybe you and your mom can apply some leverage just the way you would if your dad were an alcoholic. His mental proclivities are really causing serious distress and destroying your family and affected your brother and other siblings. And it is about him being willing to look at that on behalf of you and your family. And if he's not, then maybe he isn't somebody you want to be around. You know what I'm saying? Don't you agree?
Yeah.
And you certainly should put on the table that you don't want your parents to divorce and how painful it is for you. And then step back and it's them at that point. You can't do any more than that.
Now, listen, everyone, just get out of your house and hang out with your friends.
Yeah, but think about the...
Food's better.
Think about the D-bag friends that a lot of our college hang out with.
Well, that's true, too. But look, hang out at school. There's a sport you can play
right after
every school. Each part of the year, they just go from one to the next to the next to the next. You never have to come home. Ron?
Yeah?
You're 14? Oh, no, you're 16. What's up?
When I masturbate... Mm-hmm. Well, I was sick about a week ago, and when I masturbated, I was sick. It would come out yellow and, like, really runny.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like saliva.
All right. Well, you were sick.
Yeah. What's that have to do with being sick, Drew?
Probably weren't that hydrated. Probably your testosterone levels are down. Your body's conserving energy, not producing much of semen.
Oh, really? That's what happens.
Are you on antibiotics?
No, I wasn't on anything, and I was drinking a lot of water, too.
All right, well, again, your body's focusing on putting its energies elsewhere, combating the illness.
All right.
Okay.
You all right with the semen now?
The yellow may have been blood, actually. Are you okay now?
Blood? Yeah.
Yeah, yellow is old blood sometimes, isn't it?
Okay. I'm good now. It's back to normal.
What was the problem then? What were you experiencing?
Well, it didn't hurt or anything.
No. What was your illness?
Oh, I had a cold and a fever.
Which meaning a cough?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Were you getting yellow out of your nose too? We have a sinus infection.
Probably.
Yeah.
Hey, Ron.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Sounds like everything's okay, but just play it safe. I'd like to see you beat off into a Dixie Riddle Cup and send it out to the station.
Sure.
We'll have Drew do a full workup on it, all right?
Yeah, thanks.
All right, buddy. Good times.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Hey, do they still have those Dixie Riddle Cups, or is that something my childhood?
From the 70s, I think.
They don't have those anymore?
No.
Why? So. Why would you take riddles off a Dixie Cup?
It costs too much. Somebody's got to think up all those riddles.
I think they recycled the, and it was pretty
maybe
much.
Some, maybe some royalties
wasn't a lot
kicked
of,
in. A
lot of cutting edge original material with stuff like how do you make antifreeze, take away her slippers.
Yeah.
You know, that.
There's a bazooka bubblegum quality
that,
to it. Yeah.
Yes, that kind of stuff. Wednesday.
Hi.
Hey, you're 15. What's up?
Yeah. First, I'd just like to say, Adam, I love you.
Thank you.
Strike one. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I don't know who could answer this question, but, like, I get really, really paranoid about things.
Like, describe what you mean.
Like, this is going to sound weird, but, like that people are watching me or something. Like, when I'm taking a shower or whatever, I just get, like, really freaked out that there's, like, cameras or, like, someone's watching.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, if I'm in my room and I'm just doing my homework, I just get this really creepy feeling that someone's, like, outside my window.
Uh-huh.
Or if my dad's in the other room watching TV, and I just went in the bathroom. I just get really freaked out. And, like, it's really weird. If I turn on my radio, like, the little red light comes on, I have to cover it up because I just feel like there's a camera in there, someone's watching me somewhere.
Okay, wow. So you got real paranoid. You never do any speed?
No. I told the guy that was talking to me when I first called, I only smoked weed, like, a year ago.
Nothing else, though.
And I drink sometimes, but not really.
Really?
Yeah, you think that red light in your radio is a camera, huh?
Yet you seem to have an awareness that these impulses are inappropriate, right?
Yeah,
well,
like
with the radio,
I'm
yeah.
Like, maybe I'm just freaking out. I don't know. Like,
No. The camera is in the smoke detector. It's not in the radio.
But the fact that you have the kind of insight suggests that that this may not be a true paranoia. It's hard to say.
It's really weird because, like, I have this thing that comes out of one of my pictures on my wall, and it's like a little wire. I think it's like there's a little camera under it.
Well, do you ever hear things or see things that aren't there?
No.
Do you ever believe that people that are talking on the radio say are talking directly to you, this current experience notwithstanding?
No.
Well, wait a second. Drew, hold on. Let me talk about you to Drew on the radio. If you have this feeling that people are watching you, you tell me what's paranoia. You think the little red dot that says the radio is on, power's on, is actually camera filming you. On the other hand, you know it's not.
Well, it's paranoia with insight. You sound like she's having paranoia, but she has enough insight to know that it's not reality.
Okay, let me ask this. What about this constant theme of someone's watching me?
Right.
She's not doing anything wrong.
Right.
I know no one wants to be watched, but, I mean, what role does that play in the whole thing? I mean, you're not doing anything. Okay, there's a camera watching you. You're sitting on your bed reading a magazine.
It's just a creepy feeling for her. It's just what her brain is doing that's causing this paranoia.
Right. But the fact that it's always watching, does that suggest that she thinks that she's up to something? Or, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. But
that she feels guilt about her actions somehow?
Possibly.
I mean, like when guys are doing drugs and they're getting really paranoid, well, they think people are watching them do drugs a lot of the time or coming in on them.
Interestingly, not. In fact,
they're not?
Yeah, in fact, cocaine, they worry about police coming at them, and not necessarily because of the drugs, but it's always uniformed officers with speed. They call the police to come help them because they believe their family are trying to do stuff to them.
They don't call the police.
Oh, yes, they do.
No.
Oh, yes, they do. A friend of mine who's a policeman asked me, he goes, why are these tweakers always calling us?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Same guy came out to your house when a firecracker went off 3 miles away.
No, that guy was a Man Show fan.
It's mostly, like, sometimes it's when I'm, like, changing. It's when a lot of it happens.
Did something happen to you when you were you know, little or changing or somebody touch you or do something?
No,
to you?
No. Nothing like that's ever happened.
You don't have any issues with nudity? I mean, did somebody make you feel uncomfortable?
I'm really self-conscious about my body, I guess. Like, I get dressed behind my door. If anyone comes in, I just get freaked out.
Here's what I'm saying.
It almost seems more like an anxiety than a paranoia.
I'm with you on that, but here's what I'm saying. This stems, I mean, the beginning of this is I can't stand when I look like naked, or a key component to this is I can't stand what I look like. I have a serious body image problem.
Maybe.
So now I got to hide to get dressed because my worst case scenario is if someone ever sees me naked.
Right. We're never going to figure this out.
No. Listen, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Why don't you work on... work on the body image part.
Like I am.
I don't mean do push-ups, but I just mean, do you have an eating disorder or anything?
No.
So what are you doing to help yourself in that department?
Well, I guess I'm overweight. I'm not like obese or anything, but like I've been going on a diet for like the past 2 weeks, and I've lost like 10 pounds.
Oh, yeah. All right. And does that help you with the paranoia?
Well, like a little bit, but I don't know. Like, I had a boyfriend, he dumped me, and now, like, his website thing everyone goes on, like, tells me to, like, lose weight and stuff. So I just feel like everyone, like, knows, like, when they see me, they're like, oh, my gosh. Like, they know what I look like.
All right. And listen, isn't part of this just sort of old-fashioned ego, too? I mean, to think that anyone cares?
Yeah.
No one cares, Wednesday.
Okay.
I'm sorry to break it to you that way, but... Now, listen, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't mind seeing you naked. But people aren't thinking about you.
Right.
People don't know you. You're a 15-year-old from Santa Rosa, for Christ's sake. You're in the 10th grade. The world doesn't know and doesn't care.
Right.
It's important to give yourself that once in a while. I think a lot of this is just grandiose. It's grandiosity.
Yeah.
It's like, people are looking at me. Really? Why? What are you doing?
Yeah.
You're not doing anything, are you?
This is a very non-specific thing.
You're getting C's in high school. Who gives a rat's ass?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of you have to sort of move on with that thinking. Would you please? It's easy. Just pretend no one cares, because they don't. All right, we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, let's hop back to the phones and speak to Ainsley.
Hi.
Hey, you're 26. What's up?
I'm just wondering, as far as relationships go, if my relationship with my dog is unhealthy.
What base are you getting to with it?
I'm not doing anything perverted with my dog. It's just that she's a really good companion. She sleeps in my bed. She sits right next to me, and I feel like a lot of times I don't pursue relationships beyond sex because I don't need that kind of intimacy with a guy.
You got the dog. Does the dog think he's a person?
No.
Oh, really?
I'm actually not as deranged as the question.
Oh, you're saying that. Yeah. You'd be amazed how many women think their dogs think they're a person. Oh, it's always the same answer. Oh, yeah, of course he thinks he's a person. He sleeps on the bed. He eats people food. Oh, listen, there's not an animal. A goat would sleep on the bed and eat pizza, too, right, given the opportunity?
Sure.
How come no other animals think they're people?
Just the dogs?
Yeah. You never hear about goats?
Cats.
Cats and dogs. We never hear about herrings. You know, almost no aquatic or amphibious creatures.
Gouramis don't think they're people.
No, you just don't hear about it. So what kind of dog is it?
A yellow lab.
Oh, that's okay. That's a real dog, too.
Yeah.
Well, it replaces a male very easily.
That's not one of those.
She takes up a lot of the bed, and she doesn't really like it.
All right, here's the deal. There's sort of different ways to think about this. One is the fact that you're only connecting with people through a primitive means like sex is sort of suspicious.
Right.
And then you are not able or interested in other forms of intimacy other than with an animal. Oftentimes people that have long periods of sort of inadequate connection with humans or primary caretakers in the first 3 years of life.
Not the issue here. In fact, I'm actually going into medicine, and I have friends that are in mental health, and just someone mentioned to me recently that having this strong of a connection with your dog and feeling that you're this closely linked to it on that kind of intimate level, that you're pushing away the chances of forming that type of relationship with another person.
Or you're not capable of it, and that the same kind of connection you'd form with a dog would be equivalent to what you would form with a human.
Right.
And that is, again, that's where you start thinking about serious attachment issues, really serious.
Yeah.
And if you had insecure attachments or avoidant attachments or no attachments in the first 5 years of life, that can set you up for this kind of thing. And yeah, that is what therapy is created to serve.
I'm not worried about Ainsley. A, because she has a blonde lab. But she's just one of the best dogs in the world.
She's asking about it.
I mean, that's Old Yeller.
Yeah.
So many times they have these chicken-ass lap dogs, you know, that aren't real dogs.
Yeah.
Little yapping.
But you don't ever hear people getting super attached to those.
Well, they're not people that are capable of becoming super attached.
To anything, huh?
Yeah, they become like, you know, Zsa Zsa and Ava Gabor. They become these rich Leona Helmsley.
Didn't Sharon Osbourne have a...
Yeah, she has a little yappy.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's really into that dog.
Yeah,
they bring those dogs. They want to bring them on the plane. They like them more than people. And they get angry when they can't bring them like into the space shuttle and stuff like that. You know, into the operating room.
It's
they want
like
to bring
it's
them
like their transitional object. You know, they have to have it to feel like their blanket.
Yeah, I always want to yell at those people too. Hey, listen. A-holes. You can't bring the dog on the plane. You can't bring the dog into the movie theater. You can't bring it into the surgical room. You don't get that? I know to you, it's your precious. It's your muffin. But to us, it's a dog. You understand? Doesn't that seem strange? You would never dream of doing that, would you, Drew?
I think... I'm trying to think if I've encountered any males that do that at all.
No.
Yeah.
It's not a dude thing.
Yeah.
Dudes do it. You know, dudes do it with other stuff like music.
Yeah,
they play their music all over you. They do it with their attire. They do it with their cars,
weapons.
Yeah, they do it with that kind of stuff. But they don't do it with dogs. Jackie,
hi.
You're 28.
Yeah.
I like those shows, by the way. I don't know why we're on this though, but once in a while you see this show where they go, coming up next on the news, a dog that parachutes. And you go, a dog that parachutes, and then it's cut to the guy pushing the dog out of the plane. It's like, that's not a dog. Listen, my sofa parachutes, too. You bring it up on the plane and shove it out the goddamn back of the plane.
The payoff is when the dog lands on the ground and his tail's wagging.
Hey,
he's looking
look
like he enjoyed it.
He's not traumatized.
Yeah.
Right. They got the dog that, you know, water skis. It's like, yeah, you take this water ski that's wide enough so the dog won't fall over. You set it on the thing. Then you tie the rope down to the front of the thing and you drag it behind the boat. The dog's scared to jump off into the lake. All these, the dog that rides on the motorcycle, he sits between his owner's legs. Yeah, because he's scared he's going to fall off and get run over. Because he is.
But the tail's wagging. You must love it.
It's those guys and those stories and the guys once in a while who get married underwater or any of that. It just bothers me. I immediately look at those people and go, flawed. Can't hang out. Couldn't hang out with them for 5 seconds, and they're so lucky they're not one of my friends.
The ones you
immediately
do,
bring it
I
up.
I know the ones you do hang out with, those ones that are dressed like King Arthur's court.
Oh,
then
yes.
You're it.
Yes, I do really enjoy the medieval times, folks. Jackie?
Yeah.
28, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Actually, along that subject, I just want to say real quick a couple things missing from TV today. Fingers getting slammed on by windows.
Yeah, there was a lot of slamming.
Yeah, and the car chase is where the bad guy drives alongside the good guy. They try and run each other off the road.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
Slamming into each other.
Yes, good one.
Yeah.
Menacing looks back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always a couple of beats when they look at each other before they decide to run each other off the road.
And the bad guy's laughing.
Yeah, and most likely smoking.
Yeah.
And the bad guy always initiates the ram.
Yeah, he comes up alongside.
Yeah, he comes alongside,
and
right.
And the other guy's like, oh my gosh, what's going on?
Right, right. He doesn't notice him. Even though he knows he's being chased by a car, he doesn't notice it him pulling up alongside of him. Yeah, that is true. And you know what else? Not just the fingers, the head slamming in the window. When the person yells out the window
and then
lifts their head back up and whacks it on the pane. All right, Jackie, what's the question?
Well, I just noticed that whenever Adam has a little gas going that it offends Drew so much he has to leave, but Adam doesn't have to leave, and vice versa.
Right.
I'm just wondering why it is that we're offended by other people's odors, but we're not offended when it's our own odor.
Well,
you know
we would definitely kill ourselves if we were offended by our own odors. So it would be a form of torture. It'd be hell on earth.
I bet you, I don't know that this has been documented, but the way our brains develop is that things that are constantly around, we sort of prune out of our awareness.
Yeah, like people have tinnitus or something.
Right, that our brain sort of develops in such a way as to get out the white noise. The stuff that's constantly there, we eliminate. That's why we can't look at things critically, frankly, like things like press on nails and stuff, because we don't think about it. It's just background noise.
No, I absolutely know you're right. And now, why other people's smells offend us, I think we need to definitely recognize the difference between our smells and other people's smells for something important many, many millions of years ago, right?
But not anymore.
Now we're just offended by that difference.
Right.
But you know the difference between someone else's BO and your own and someone else's gas and
probably
your own.
Probably we used it to mark territory one time.
I still do it.
You would have been good.
Yeah, I would have owned most of North America.
Saskatchewan would have been yours.
Wow. All right, we'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. DJ Qualls is... It's not Quills, is it? I want to say Quills.
We went through this last
Quals.
Time with him. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Q-U-A-L-L-S, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So he's coming in here tomorrow night. He's got that new movie coming out. We'll talk to him. And Nicole, who's 16, is on the air. Nicole?
Hey.
What's the matter, Pumpkin?
Tired, huh?
A little. It's 2 o'clock.
Nice.
She's depressed, too, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I haven't cut since August. And this week I did. And my boyfriend said for every cut that I did that he was going to do double.
Great.
For every cut?
For every cut.
So he's going to cut on himself. Is he a cutter too?
No.
He's never been a cutter.
He got me.
Oh, so he's going to match you. Yeah. It's like one of those charity things.
Right. 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 Two for one, yeah.
Right.
All right, so. What's
now, well, hold on. Cut. He's going to give him, like, if you give yourself one cut, he's going to give himself two cuts.
Yeah.
Or if you give yourself one cut that's 1 inch long, he's going to give himself one cut that's 2 inches long.
No, if I do one cut, he's going to do two.
Two cuts. But they could be smaller than your one cut. And
he's going to match them up. Same cuts.
Yeah.
Well, what's your average cut? 3/4 of an inch?
I don't know. It's just, like, random.
Oh, okay, I see.
There are
sizes. Oh, I see. Okay, well, go ahead.
How old is your boyfriend?
18.
How long have you known him for?
A year.
And are you in treatment now?
Yeah, I haven't. Well, I stopped my Prozac.
All right, well, how about following some directions, getting back on your medication, talking to the people who are taking care of
you? I think it was making me worse, though.
Well, then call them and tell them. You don't stop stuff on your own. You let them.
Well, they talk to you like, oh, you're a little girl. You don't know anything. Where's your mommy? Oh, you took the bus here? Wow.
They make fun of you for taking the bus?
No. I mean, like, what, your mommy didn't drive you? She's not coming with you? They don't want to know anything about what I have to say.
Are you certain it's not just the fact that they're concerned about the lack of your mother's involvement, that they wonder where she is? That they would have that you would be seriously ill and she wouldn't participate in treatment in any way?
And do they say mommy or do they say mom?
No, your mommy. Where's your mommy?
No, they don't say, where's your mommy?
I swear.
Listen, I had a sister. I still have a sister, but I remember when she was
16.
Like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. She would come home, and it was like, the teacher said, you're fat. Get out of here. It was like the teacher said, you can't do gym in sweatpants. You got to put the coated pants on. And I'd go, she didn't say she was fat. Get out. Oh, she said in my face I was fat, you know. And then that's when I realized that women have an amazing capacity to lie about what people say. If it's what they hear, they just convert it to what they hear. You know, I mean, you may have felt that. They didn't say mommy.
He did, I swear.
All right. Well, now I believe you. So listen, sweetie, how about you stop cutting on yourself? And what about your mommy? Where is she?
She's nuts.
She's nuts?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they're wondering where she is. That's part of the problem here, is that she needs to be participating in your treatment.
No, I don't want her to participate. Huh, every time I get into a fight with her, she threatens to have me committed again.
Yeah. All right. Well, what again? She had you committed before?
Once.
For cutting on yourself?
Yeah.
Where's your dad?
Around.
But not in your life?
No.
Okay. Well, look, I'm with Drew. You got to get your medication adjusted or get back on it. And I'm sorry about your mom, and I'm sorry about your dad.
I'm sorry about your boyfriend, too. His way of dealing with things, I know
he's desperate. 18, you know. Yeah. He doesn't know. People from New York have so much personality. Do you notice that?
Is that what that was?
Well, I mean, even in this 16-year-old is having, you know, emotional problems. There's a lot of... I played golf on Saturday with the two New York City firefighters.
Oh, yeah.
And these guys were funnier than most of the comedians I know. You know, I mean, had a lot more personality.
Right, right.
Listen, I'm a comedian. They both had a ton more personality than I have.
Yeah.
And they were screwing with each other the whole time, and they were funny.
Yeah.
And having a good time. I mean, and it just dawned on me that people from New York have so much more personality, and sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad.
Right.
Than people from L.A.
Right, right.
The other two guys, we were playing, we had like a fivesome. Had the two New Yorker guys, and then two guys who were like from Orange County or just, you know, Huntington Beach or something. Old, you know, guys in their 40s who were like, you know, stockbrokers or something. Had like zero personality. Like just void of personality.
Right.
And I realized at that point, you know, people from New York or anywhere, Boston, anywhere in the East, just have so much more personality than people in California. People in California don't have any personality.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let me look at you.
Yeah.
Zero.
See that?
That's right.
You wouldn't mistake me as somebody from Boston or New York. No.
Yeah, nobody ever says to anybody, are you from California? Like, they'll ask me if I'm from New York because it seems like I have a personality.
Not when you're in your personal life. You have zero personality. Zero. They just see you.
That's right.
They just see you on TV and they say you're from there. Then they meet you in real life. They go, oh, jeez. What was I thinking?
No, it's true. I have zero personality and made $0 in 1985, 1994.
And 91, 85, and 88.
Right, when I made $0. And I do have zero personality. But, Drew, you also know that I will sit next to someone on an airplane once in a while, have a couple of Bloody Marys, and get going on a topic.
That's like listening to, you know.
The point is that's when the question arises, where are you from?
I see.
You must be from New York.
I see.
You actually, there's words coming out of your mouth, and there's some affect behind it.
You know what that is? That's that feeling of intrusion. You know, they've got their headphones on, and they're trying to go to sleep, and you're like poking them and talking, taking their headphones off for them.
How dare you?
Huh?
I just came to the conclusion that people from Southern California have zero personality. What is the Southern California personality?
None.
Kind of laid back guy, smokes too much weed and doesn't do a whole lot of thinking?
Yeah.
You know, when you think about great comedic minds or personalities or writers or satirists, you don't think of anyone from California, do you?
No.
No. Okay.
Bukowski.
Kelly?
Yes.
You're 24.
Yes, I'm 24.
Yeah.
And for the past about 6 months...
Will Rogers moved out to California. I don't know where he's from. Can't be from here, though.
And, Kelly?
Go ahead.
And for the past 6 months, I've been having... when I'm having sex, I cannot stand to have my breast touched. And it's only gotten worse. And maybe for the last month, I actually have no sex drive at all. Not even masturbating, which I used to do twice a day.
Huh.
I'm wondering what my doctor would say if I've actually brought that up to him.
Did you start a new birth control pill?
Yes, I did.
Well, there it is.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
I had a question about that. That might be it.
Which pill are you on?
Ortho Novum.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you might want to try ortho tricycline. You may have to monkey around a little bit to find the right pill for you.
It's amazing. I mean, nothing at all.
Yeah, but there can be... In my experience, it's usually been the progestational agents that shut people down. So you want something... Yeah. Though some people get more from that. So it depends. The pill can charge you up, give you more sex drive, or it can shut you down.
So if I change, I should be fine?
Well, you may have to change a couple times to find the one that's working for you. Have you had anything else? Any weight gain or breast change or anything like that?
Maybe they got a little bit bigger, but that wasn't a problem.
But not a dramatic change?
No. But
okay.
And do you think that the actual not being able to stand to have anybody touch it is, I mean...
It's all part of that pill.
You think
really?
I bet you.
Wow. That's great.
What regard can you not stand anyone to touch them?
It's probably irritating.
It's completely irritating. Yeah. I cannot stand. And I have big breasts. You know, my boyfriend and I have been together 7 years.
How big are your breasts? Oh, how big are your breasts?
I am a 36 double D.
Yeah.
So, and he cannot stand, you know, obviously, that I can't stand to have him touch him anymore, you know.
Yeah.
I used to enjoy it, but now it's nothing. If he even thinks about it and I see the look on his face, it just makes me crazy. So.
You know that look when he's going?
Yes.
For your breasts?
Yeah, he has this look he gets on his face, and I'm like, don't even think about it, because it just makes me want to freak out. I don't know how to explain it.
What is that look, pray tell?
Oh, out of the hunting look, you know. The tight t-shirt look, you know. I'm like, oh, no, I need to go change, so.
Yeah, I think it's the same look, like if you could mount... If you could mount a camera inside a pizza box so that when the lid flipped on the pizza box, it would start in black with the lid. It'd be a good shot for a movie, Anderson. Starts black, and as the pizza box flips over, the face of the guy who's leaned over it, about hand out in front of him, ready to grab that piece.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's the look that he has for the press.
Mm.
You know, it's weird. I was just eating pizza on Friday. My hand still has to circle the pizza three times. Like,
decide which piece.
Yeah, because one of them is a 16th of an inch wider than the other one,
right.
Or has three extra
top
mushrooms sprinkled on it. I still got to give it. I really got to size it up.
I'm just thinking though, the look of desperation that guys need. You'd have to have not eaten for 18 hours too.
To have that look?
That look, yeah.
It doesn't have to be 18 hours. It can just be waiting on the pizza and it finally arrived.
Because guys get that never been satisfied before kind of thing going on.
If you think about the pizza's a food that arrives.
Yeah.
Like, you got to wait on it.
Right, and you know it's coming, though.
I know, but that's like foreplay. You know it's coming. Other food, you know, you don't get that look with a churro. It's already there. It's always there.
Donuts?
No, it's there. When you walk in, there it is. You know what I mean? Something about waiting for things to arrive. And it always takes a good 45 minutes. Nicole?
Hello?
You're 15?
Yes.
What's up?
I'm a virgin, but lately I've been having these really weird fantasies about being, like, tied up and stuff, and it's, like, freaking me out.
Yeah. Fantasies?
Yeah.
Like, well, are your eyes closed? Or are you...
No, like, I'll be, like, sitting in class, and I'll start daydreaming,
mm-hmm.
and I'll just start thinking about, like, being tied to my bed and blindfolded, and it's really weird.
And is someone having sex with you?
Yeah.
Is it anyone you know?
Sometimes.
Like, somebody from class or something?
Like, my current boyfriend or girlfriend or whoever.
Girlfriend.
Boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever?
Do you have relations with boys and girls?
Yeah.
Hmm.
You're a virgin, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. So you're bisexual?
Yeah.
Who, do you have a girlfriend too?
Yeah.
And the boyfriend doesn't mind that?
He doesn't care, but he prefers to be there if anything happens, which is kind of typical.
Yeah. Well, typical of a-holes.
No. Typical of a 15 or 16-year-old guy. Listen, they're not getting married. He knows she's a piece of work. This is what's in it for him, by the way.
The relationship.
Yeah, you see, woman would never stand for that. Woman wouldn't be like, well, listen, you can date me and date...
Stu.
I was going to say Elton. I don't know why. Seems like a good bi name. You can date me and Elton. I get to watch while you're blowing Elton and beat off.
Right.
Well, actually, I kind of like that, so...
Yeah, you kind of like it. Guys, see, there's no allure of that.
So why would the tying up stuff freak you out? You seem to be...
Just because it's kind of like, it's not normal.
Well, a lot of stuff
you're doing ain't normal. What about the part about being a virgin? Why are you still a virgin?
I don't know. I want to wait till I'm 18.
Were you forced to do something at one time in your life you didn't want to do?
Almost once.
What happened?
Almost?
I was hanging out with some friends, and one of them got a little too happy.
No, what happened before? Long ago. Did somebody your age try to monkey around with you a little bit or something? Make you feel...
I was like,
what happened?
11.
And what happened?
We were just hanging out, and he, like, started kissing on me and feeling on me and all that crap.
And you were 11?
Yeah.
Mm. How old was he?
He was 12.
Nothing, huh? All right, listen. These fantasies, well, they're fantasies. I mean, look, people have fantasies about killing people and about being killed and, you know,
yeah.
It doesn't mean anything. Except for the people actually do it, but no, yeah, I mean, you know what I mean. I don't know. I don't think you should be scared of your fantasies. You should be scared of your actions or your impulses. But fantasy-wise, I mean, you have. I mean, in your life as a human being, you have incredibly positive fantasies. I mean, these fantasies of you being up on stage and a million people shouting your name at some huge event. And then you have fantasies about. You know, a plane crash or a car crash right. or a loved one dying or right. whatever. This goes on all day, every day.
But clearly, though, Nicole has a bunch of sexual energy that's unresolved and floating and poor boundaries around stuff.
Yes.
And she should be just really monitoring herself, you know what I mean? For for being careful to be in relation with people that care about her and that, you know, she's in for the right reasons. And not be so interested in full-scale exploration, because she's going to end up not a virgin before 18, which is one of her priorities right now.
I love the fact, by the way, that women think it's gross when guys get it on.
With each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And maybe then... We're justified when we think it's gross when guys get it on. I mean, maybe that's a human condition.
And yet, two women getting it on is a good thing.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, you do the math, okay? You do the human biological math. Guys are turned on by the notion of two women getting it on. Women are oftentimes turned on by the notion of two women getting it on. Guys are grossed out by two guys getting it on, and women are grossed out by the notion of two guys getting it on. So
just because guys are gross, though. Let's be fair. It's not the sex.
Everyone is grossed out by the idea of another guy getting cornholed. Are they not? Everybody is. Even the guys that are doing the cornholing sometimes wouldn't be on the receiving end of it. As we've learned from doing this show.
Yeah.
I don't know if they could say they're grossed out by it. But my point is maybe one of them is just a little easier for nature, on nature. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, how else do you explain? I mean,
it'd be interesting to see what happens like in primitive societies and things.
I've had girlfriends in the past that have had an experience with a woman, and they tell you that story, and you get aroused.
Yeah.
You start getting a little excited.
Yeah.
And I always, for fun, tell them,
but
I make it up. But, I go, my buddy, I blew him. It was cool. You know, they're like,
Oh, no. Like run out of screaming.
You're not turned on. And I always pick some guy's name that I kind of know, heavy set guy. And I'm like, I blow. Just one time, you know. And I get real elaborate the story. We had some wine coolers. We're watching TV. It was no big deal. I mean, he did it to me, so I did it to him. Huh. And they get disgusted by it. They're like, oh.
Let's be fair. They're thinking of your hairy ass.
No. Women don't like this.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. And neither do we. So. How can we both be wrong? All right? That's all I'm saying. Paul?
Hey, what's up?
You're 19?
Yeah. I got a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
My girlfriend was on ortho tricycling, I think it was.
Yeah.
And she like a month ago, something happened, and she couldn't get her pill, so she's been off it for, maybe three weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
And, maybe a week ago, we used an emergency contraceptive pill. And, yesterday, we did again. But would it hurt her if she took it tonight again?
No, she's good. She can do it again, but she's got to get on her pills.
Okay, because we're going tomorrow to go get those, so.
Yeah, go ahead and do it again, and then that's that.
Okay, so there's not going to be, any harsh side effects for her?
She could get nausea and vomit, but make sure she gets something for that. There's medicine that she can get with the bromoniaptor pill that will help prevent some of that. But
okay.
she's not likely to harm herself with this. Certainly no more harm than a pregnancy would cause, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. All right, thanks, guys.
All right there, Paul. Good times there, buddy.
All right, good times. Bye.
Yeah, you're doing the right thing. I like that, talking about that morning after pill.
Yeah.
Let's talk to David. David, you're 25.
Yeah, hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Hey, I was calling. I was just wanted to know, like those pills I see advertised in the magazines and stuff like that, and like those pumps to enlarge your penis. Do those things actually work? And if you take them, like, what are some of, like, the side effects or stuff like that?
All right. I'm going to put them on hold because his line's a little bit shaky. As I've mentioned maybe in the past, just recently, Jimmy and I, for the Man Show, set out to get some answers to this question. And the pills and stuff, I don't know. Doesn't seem to be a whole lot of good data to substantiate that.
Ridiculous.
That's Rococulous, is what we like to say. Yeah, I mean, they're coming out with pills to make your boobs bigger, to make your penis bigger. I would say the ones that make your boobs bigger have a better chance of working than the ones that make your penis bigger.
I would think you're probably right.
No pill is going to make your penis bigger.
No,
topical cream is going to do it either.
Mm-mm.
Now, as far as these pumps go, they have some high-grade pumps.
Is that right?
I mean, you know, there's $250 sort of, you know, these things look like medical equipment.
Yeah.
And the guys who talk about the pumps, and we interviewed a few guys.
Who would use them?
Yeah, who'd use them and use them quite consistently. I mean, they have ones that run off little fish tank motors and stuff. You got to plug them in. And
oh, my God.
I love when guys just become completely obsessed with their penis. I would say over the course of a certain amount of time, you could get a certain size increase out of that.
And how?
Listen, the same way you get it if you just hang a 10-pound weight from it for long enough.
Yeah, so the skin and soft tissue on top of the hard part elongate.
Yeah.
Which is like an elephant's trunk.
You are blowing your penis up to a slightly unnatural size by doing this vacuum thing. I mean, there's a fair amount of your penis inside of you. You're basically, it's the same way your penis looks bigger if you grab it and tug on it. Well, you grab on it and you tug on it every night for 6 months, and, there's something marginal. Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I would use this pump for. I would use it for a good night of action.
Right.
You know, I might get that pump on there,
maximal.
Yeah, tumescence. Normally I run like 85 PSI
in
my penis. During the summer, I'll usually bring it down to 75 PSI because...
Is there energy?
Well, no, the road gets hot and it tends to expand
right.
a little bit. During the winter, I'll run about 95 PSI. Regular 75-degree day, I run about 85 PSI.
Okay.
But you put that pump on there and you get up to 100 PSI and now...
You go to work.
Yeah, you hit the road. Yeah, you could use it for that.
Could blow a bleb there on that hot road.
All right, so anyway, if you get a penis pump, make sure it's one that's like a couple $100. And
that's a good message.
Yeah, and otherwise, yeah. If you're going to waste your money, make sure you waste a substantial amount of it. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Yep. Love line, everybody. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE. All right, Eric?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes. How's it going, Adam?
Good. How are you doing?
Drew?
Eric, thank you.
Yeah, me and my girlfriend's been going on for 3 months, and I recently found out that she's been cheating on me with another female.
Uh-huh.
And I caught her at her work, and she doesn't know.
You caught her where?
At her work.
She was cheating at work?
Yeah.
What was she doing?
They were, like, going at it. And
at work?
Yeah.
What does she do for a living?
She works for a financial service. And she, I don't know how to, I mean, I was wondering how I could.
Wait. Where was she doing this?
She was inside her work.
And what were you doing there inside her work watching?
I was in her work. I mean, there was a window there, and I just went to pick her up, and I was there early. I caught her and her girlfriend.
Wait a minute. You were driving. You could see her from the street, and she was in a storefront?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Okay.
Describe what room was she in?
Okay, she was in her office, okay? And they have this blinder. The blinds were open. And I caught them. She was, like, sitting on a chair, and, like, the girl walked up to her and they started kissing each other. And I was wondering how I could let her confront her about this.
Mm. Sounds sort of bogus, Eric.
No, I'm serious.
Well, let me tell you this. I know you feel bad. You're 23 years old?
Yeah.
When I was 23, I made $2,553 for the year.
Okay.
You feel better?
Yeah.
It's always so better to find out how crappy a life Adam's had.
Yeah. And that was 1987, and it's not like a car was $1,200 or something back then.
Yeah.
Now, you know how much a color TV set cost back then?
$400.
More than they cost now.
Right.
Quite a bit more. Thank you. All right, Eric?
Yeah. Eric, we have learned that when somebody says, how should I confront someone, that's a non-question.
Yeah.
That's sort of bogus.
Yeah. We don't believe you.
Yeah. Well, that's not...
What do you mean, how should you? You should come swooping down from a rope?
No.
And grab her in the living room and pull her up to the balcony?
No, I mean, how should I let her know that I don't want her doing this? And...
Well, just tell her what you saw.
Okay.
Isn't that the obvious answer?
Yeah.
That's how we know this is a non-question, because there's no question here.
He still did it. He did a good job of sounding troubled.
Yeah, did that right. And if this is not bogus, then go ahead and tell her what you saw and have a discussion about what's going on in your relationship.
I really just got a pit in my stomach when I started thinking about how much a
TV
how much a TV costs in 1987.
Yeah.
People don't remember that.
Although, you know what? I'm looking at your numbers here. I got to tell you something. I'm looking at your numbers here since 96, and I'm thinking about all you've spent on cars and property and TV stuff.
Yeah.
You just about spent everything.
Yeah.
You just about done it.
Why not?
Good times.
Why not?
Listen,
I know how to get along with no money, Drew.
Evidently. This proves it.
I'm doing my whole life.
And even though the numbers at the top of the page keep going up here, you still end up with zero. It's good.
Well, let me say this, and then we're going back to the phones. I'm not going to be one of these guys who's poor his entire life and then pretends like he's poor for the rest of his life
right. Because
he's so scared.
You're not going to be the miser who dies and finds out there's $96 million left over.
No way.
Yeah.
I don't want to leave anything to anybody.
Yeah.
My idiot family with their, hey, that car's $20,000. And I told my mom, I'm the biggest prick son there is in the world.
Really?
Yeah. I pulled up in a car once a few years ago. It was like a $35,000 car or something. My mom said, oh, my God, how much does that car cost? It was like $35,000. She said, aren't you worried that, you know, that's too much and that you're not going to make enough and something's going to happen? I mean, don't you worry about the $35,000 car?
I know exactly what you said.
I said, yep. I said, Mom, you know what my big worry is? I'm worried that I'm going to make too much money, and I didn't buy an expensive enough car. That's my worry. That's my concern.
What did she say?
Right. My family's sick. They don't even know. It doesn't even compute. They're like, oh. Smoke starts coming from their ears and stuff. They're like, oh. I got a used toaster oven at the yard sale. It just needs a new cord and a heating coil, and it's good as new. I swear to God that my mom buys every appliance at the yard sales. Oh, I got a lot of making up to do, Drew. Hand me that cigar and that $100 bill. I got to light it up. Kristen?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yep.
What's up?
I have a book here at home called The Height Report.
Mm-hmm. From 1978 or whatever it was.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Yeah, I was wondering if there's anything more recent with the same kind of study.
Yeah, a ton.
Really?
All kinds of stuff. I mean, that's way past, a long time ago. Masters and Johnson has continued to put out good stuff. Check out just go on the web. There's tons of
What is that Height Report?
It's just information about sexual behaviors and things.
No.
Go to a National Council on Sexual Addiction and Compulsivity. It'll give you a lot. Through there is a lot of stuff.
They have a website?
NCSAC.org, I think.
Whoa.
It is. NC.
Well, let her write it down. Hold on. What do you need this stuff for?
Well, I was snooping through my mom's stuff when I was younger, and I found the book, and I just used it to get off, whatever. But like later on, I found it again, and I found some really cool stuff in there.
NCSAC.org.
NCSAC.org.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
All that stuff, you know, where you see those reports and they go, 63% of high school seniors have either tried marijuana or thought about trying marijuana in the last 6 months. After a while, I mean, didn't that stuff used to mean something?
Yeah.
It doesn't really mean anything anymore, does it? I mean, I know you live in a world where you get into that, and I always just assumed all that stuff was down to the last digit until I heard about 55,000 people dying of secondhand smoke every year.
Right.
And that kind of stuff. And then I just started to realize none of this means anything, really. I mean,
once in a while
someone brings up something.
If it fits with your sense of reality, it's probably accurate. You know what I mean? If it doesn't fit, it's probably spurious.
Right.
And part of the problem with studying young people is, A, there's tremendous regional and socioeconomic differences.
Yes.
And by the time you've printed your study, kids have changed their behavior.
Yeah.
They change so fast that the only real-time experience I hear with people getting an assessment of what's really going on with young people is this show. So we hear it in real time. We hear what they're really doing.
Yeah, and it's always sort of stuff like, it's always that same, like, 58% of 16-year-old males have lost their virginity. So it's stuff like, yeah, all right. You know what I mean? Like, what am I supposed to do with that? Be astounded? It's always, like I said, yeah, if it sounds about right, then it's probably right. And if it's 55, if it's more Americans died last year of secondhand smoke than died in Vietnam, which doesn't sound right, then I would say it's not right. Andy?
Yeah, hey, fellas, what's going on?
You're 21. What's up?
Yeah, first of all, I just want to say the show's great. You and Drew play off of each other awesome. Like, Drew, you can't take flack from anybody that calls up and says you're not worth your beans.
Well, thanks, Andy.
You're welcome.
I feel better tonight.
Thank you.
But anyway, Dr. Drew, I got a question. I'm an addict in recovery. I've got just over a year, and my brother has just gotten into the program. And we've been talking about him maybe moving down here to in with me in L.A., and he might go to a community college around here.
He's how long is his recovery?
He's got about 30 days. I haven't talked to him in a week. And, that's what I'm thinking. Like, it might, because when we get along great, but then on the flip side, when we don't, we're at each other's throats just constantly.
Yeah. My instinct is probably not an awful move, but probably not a good move.
Andy, you're 21?
Uh-huh.
Let me check my data here. 1985, 21, made zero. Yeah. So now you feel better, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Drew, what is next? That 21 right there, 1985.
Your age 21, 1985? Zero. Zero. Your Social Security earnings? Zero.
Thank you.
Your taxed Medicare earnings? Zero.
Thank
good.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. He should be around people. If he's going to be involving himself with people in the program in terms of living and connecting with them regularly, they should be people who have been in the program a long time. You're still focused on your recovery. Thank God you made that first year. It's a critical hurdle for you to make. But for you to bring a person early in recovery into your living environment, A, is going to be a threat to your recovery. It's good for them, but a threat to your recovery.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
And B, it being your brother can add a real layer of stress that might not be good for either of you. He really needs to be in a sober living or something like that. If he's going to start school, that's fine. But from a sober living, give him 3 months out in the program. With the focus on his program as his priority, and he can go to school also a little bit and get going. That's fine. If that all goes well, then maybe he can move in with you.
All right. And we have a quick car question here.
Yeah.
Jordan?
Yeah?
You're 13?
Yeah.
You're buying a car?
I'm just planning for, a few years early, I guess.
The future.
I see.
That's a good thing, right?
Adding to the list of people I hate, I have a handful of friends who had cars before they were 16.
Ooh.
You know, the parents said, when you get your permit, we can. But the car was there already. Ooh. Not with a bow on it and brand new from the dealer, but a decent car that the family had that the kid was going to get on his 16th birthday. Wow. I want to sock that guy when I see him.
Like, all my friends have that.
No!
They all have cars, but they can't drive them yet.
All right, so what do you want? What do you want to know?
Just how much a nice Honda Civic Turbo costs, new 2002, 2003 with chassis lights.
How much is it going to cost in 2006?
Somebody put the turbo on it, right? It didn't come factory that way. Somebody put the turbo on, right?
Yeah, just add all the stuff to it, like no stereo system and everything.
Yeah. I don't know. You got money for that?
I'm saving up.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you my general philosophy. I don't monkey around with
it. Well, let me see. You, Adam, you earned $232 that year when you were driving.
Yeah.
First getting your car. So,
yeah.
You must have had yourself a nice car that year.
Yeah, I had a sweet, sweet ride. I had an Enduro motorcycle for, I think, that year. Here's the deal. If I was going to buy a car, like, I know all you crazy kids are buying these cars. You watch the Fast and the Furious, and you're doing all these modifications and all these Hondas and Acuras and all this stuff. Let someone else do it, and you buy the car from them. Because they get back, like, 10 cents on the dollar.
Mm.
They buy a car. Let's say the car is worth $10,000. Guy puts another 10 grand into it worth of junk that you want to put on it, and then he sells it for $12,000.
Right.
That's the way it works.
It's like houses putting a bunch of crap in it, and then they can never get it out.
But even in houses, depending on what you do, I mean, if you take your name and you put it in mosaic, you put your initials in mosaic on the bathroom floor,
right,
you're probably not going to get your money back. But if you add on another half bathroom or something like that, you could get your money back. But cars, guys get cars, dump a whole bunch of money into it, and then have to sell it for about the same price as the stock version of that used car.
Right, right.
So buy one that someone's already done the junk to. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Yeah, my theme song.
This is you in 1991.
That's right.
Big 0 year.
That's another 0 year?
Oh, yeah. 91, 88, 85.
Those are my 3 0 years?
Every 3 years, you seem to zero out.
No shame in having a zero in your year.
I think you were up to something weird, too. You were, like, thinking that the government would notice if every 3 years you pocketed everything. What were you thinking?
Is it really every 3 years?
It's every three. 85, 88, 91.
Jesus Christ. It is so pathetic. I remember I had my dad told me in, like, 93 or something when I told him I was sick and I didn't have any money to buy like medicine and I didn't have any insurance or anything, and he said you better save, you better get a little savings going, like you know, $200, $500, you know, $500. I mean, you should have $500
a buffer
just in case you got to get some emergency or something.
Well, in 93 that would have been about 30% of your earnings,
the $500. Yeah, and you know what I told my dad? I'm so glad. I said, listen, are you high? No way. And I said, I'm not going to bust my ass to save $500. Hey, who cares? Like, either I make a lot of money
or screw it.
Or I die, just die of syphilis, you know, at age 30. I literally said to him, I'm not going to bust my ass to save up $375 when down the road, if I make a lot of money, that'll be nothing. Mm-hmm. I'll regret the fact that I did it. And I'm so glad I did it. And I didn't do it. Let that be a lesson to you kids. Mm. Never save money.
Yeah, great message.
Kaylee?
Hello?
Didn't we talk to Kaylee earlier?
I thought so.
You're 14?
Yeah. I've recently been with this guy, and he wanted me to give him oral sex, and I did, but I couldn't stop, like, gagging because his, like, cum tasted disgusting, like, not normal. And I was wondering, is that
if you tasted other?
Yes, okay. And it didn't taste normal. It
14.
Was...
And now when you say it tasted horrible, was that when it all came out at once, or when
it was pre-cum, kind of leaking out? Yeah.
Why would that make a difference?
I guess it's the difference between farting and essing. Do you know what I mean? The pre-cum is like the fart.
Okay.
And the actual cum is like the S.
Bad times.
But it's bad because it clears people out of the room before the S begins.
I understand. All right.
Yeah.
And you gagged, vomited.
How old is the guy?
17.
And you vomited where?
No, I didn't throw up. But I had to stop. But I was wondering, like, he smokes bud all the time.
Yeah.
And is that, like, why does it, is it that?
No.
No?
No. It's because he's a bad person, and his balls are possessed by the devil.
We don't know why.
We don't know. That's his funk. That's his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, certain people got a certain smell to them.
Kind of smoke a lot of weed, though, are not often, sometimes, not so into hygiene. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not fastidiously.
They wear a lot of the same denim for years and years. All right, Kaylee. We're worried about all the penises you're putting your mouth on.
Yes. You can get sexually transmitted diseases that way, too, you know.
Yes, I know.
What's the matter with you?
I don't know.
What does that do for you?
What does it do for me?
Oh, when were you molested?
Never.
Really?
Yeah, but I had a really screwed up childhood.
What happened?
Oh, my mom was on drugs, like, all the time, and then... So she was, like, really never around.
All right, what about Daddy?
I live with him now, but I don't like him.
Why not?
He's mean, I don't know.
All right.
Kaylee, please do something else other than trying to act this out on men.
Yes. Stop trying to blow your way out of depression.
Yeah. Find some people who really care about you, some good friends. Just hang. Because they're all going to be predators.
I know. And I've said this a million times. When I was 14 or 15, if I had this sexual thing going, and if I had something that somebody wanted... I don't know what I would have done.
You mean if you were a woman, a female?
Yeah, or even if for some unknown reason I had some power as a male, yeah. or somehow the roles were reversed.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Well, you do know. You would have been like...
I would have been a mess.
Yeah.
There would have been a glory hole and a line of guys a mile long, yeah. Instead of shoving their penis through it.
Yeah.
I mean, if people had been interested.
Yeah.
And so I don't know... How to tell the Kayleys of the world, whose dads are pricks and whose moms were drug addicts.
But you know why you can talk?
The only attention she gets is from 17-year-old stoners who want a BJ.
Yeah.
That she doesn't need that attention.
But it's a different drive than your perception of what it would have been at 15. If yours was just to get the sex, that's where that biology is.
No, I'm not saying. No, I know, but I'm not saying that. I'm saying... Kaylee doesn't feel good about herself.
Right.
And neither do any of these girls who call in her situation.
But her drive is to get that gratification, that primitive connection, not just to have an orgasm.
No, I know. No, I'm saying I felt that way. I felt a certain emptiness when I was younger.
Yeah.
And if I felt it could have been temporarily filled by something that was readily available and that was very easy to do.
Yeah, it made you feel gratified in the moment.
Then I would have gotten on that, and I would have done it every weekend, probably until I was 30. You know, I mean, how do you tell a 14-year-old not to when here's her one chance to feel like a princess when, you know, daddy never made her feel that way? Mm. All right. Chris.
Yes.
You're 24. What's up?
Hey, I just had a question for you. I'm probably about in the same financial ballpark you were at my age. And
24. Let me check my chart here. 24. Drew, would you like to check
tell
Chris what 24 was. That was 1988.
Zero.
Thank you.
Okay, that's about right for me, too.
Yeah.
And my question was, is going out and trying to meet chicks when you don't really have any money.
Well, now, wait a minute. The next year, Adam netted $22,000, so...
$22,000?
Yeah. How was it that next year with women?
How did I make $22,000 the next year? I must have been doing my
earthquake rehab
for the city. Oh, sweet, sweet deal.
You're 25. But the women must have been just...
Let me tell you about that $22,000, too. Easy money. All he had to do is climb under a condemned apartment building in downtown L.A. and dig with a coffee can.
Well, you know, it wasn't like it was 110 degrees out or anything.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Chris?
Yes.
Well, here's the thing about women, and here's the problem with them. You don't have to spend a lot of money on a date for them to think you have money or don't have money. It's sort of the car you pull up in, the house you live in, the clothes you wear, the stuff you can't really fake.
Right. Well, I got a good car.
You do?
Clothing is kind of sketchy.
Yeah, what do you have in the car department?
A 65 Fastback Mustang. It's done up like a Shelby.
Wow, like a GT350?
That's correct. Yeah. I kind of got it when I was one of those people who had a car before I had a driver's license.
Oh.
Except for my dad wasn't the one who went out and just, you know, bought me a car. He found me two cars that were wrecked, and I had to make one drivable car out.
Was it a Fastback Mustang?
Yes.
Wow. Well, what do you got in there, 289?
Actually, it's got 351 in it.
Ooh. Oh, Cleveland.
Wow.
No, actually, it's the Windsor.
Oh, all right. Well, it's usually the Cleveland. Yeah. Okay, look. You got a cool car, right?
Yeah.
A picnic.
Yeah.
Oh, chicks beach. Love picnic. Beach. The beach, the picnic, the park.
Yeah.
Women love the picnic. You go to that Trader Joe's or one of those little markets. I don't know if you have one everywhere. No, you go to those. They're having these new markets. They're kind of like boutique markets.
We can't afford that, really, can we?
No, but those places are cheap.
All right, okay.
You get some nice imported cheese. You get some little crackers. You get a little can of pate or something. Get a $7 bottle of wine. You're $20 into the whole thing. You put it in the picnic basket. You throw it in the back of the 350 Shelby clone and drive up to a nice picnic area. Chicks love effort. Effort, effort, effort.
Flowers. Pick them all yourself.
Yeah. Effort. All right. They like pain.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. I mean, listen.
You and pain.
If you own a flower store, you cannot bring home flowers. I guarantee the wife of the guy who owns a flower store, if and he wasn't gay, would not be interested in flowers and would not be happy if he brought them home for Mother's Day or an anniversary. All right, that's all you need to know about women. Thank you.